Welcome to Mighty Faith Podcast. This is Sharon Rogels, and I'm excited to be sharing true life stories, devotionals, angels, dreams, and supernatural things. And I hope you enjoy the show. And today we have another dream. This is called The Dream That Wouldn't Go Away by George Hunt. When I was a young livestock rancher north of Roosevelt, Utah, the news one cold morning in November reported that a California doctor and his wife were missing on a flight from Custer, South Dakota to Salt Lake City. As a student pilot, I had just completed my first cross-country flight with an instructor, and I only had 20 solo hours on my own. Paying close attention to all the radio experts and reports on the search, I was very disturbed 2 days later by a newscast that was saying that Dr. Robert Dykes and his wife Marjorie, both in their late 20s and parents of two young children, were not likely to be found until spring, and maybe not even then. They had been missing for 4 days, and the temperature had been below zero every night. There seemed little chance of their survival without food and proper clothing. That night before I retired, I said a simple prayer for these two people that I didn't know. I said, "Dear God, if they're still alive, send someone to them so they will be able to get back to their families." After a while, I drifted off to sleep, and in a dream, I saw a red plane on a snow-swept ridge and two people waving for help. I awoke with a start. Was it them? What was the color of their plane? I didn't remember any of the news reports ever mentioning the color. I couldn't get back to sleep for some time, and I kept reasoning, because I had been thinking of the couple before falling asleep, that it was just natural for me to dream of them. When I finally did go to sleep again, the dream came again, a red plane on a ridge, but now farther away. I could still see two people waving and could now see some snow-covered mountain peaks in the background. I got out of bed and spread out the only air chart I owned. It covered a remote area in Utah. The flight plan that they had taken presumably had to pass over this range. I was familiar with this rugged terrain, for I had fished and hunted it as a boy. My eyes scanned the names on the chart: Burro Peak, Painter's Basin, King's Peak, Gilbert Peak. Again, I went to bed, and again, incredibly, the dream returned. Now the plane was barely in sight. I could see a valley below, and then it came to me in a flash: Painter's Basin and Gilbert Peak. I rose in a cold sweat. It was daylight. Turning on the news, I found there had been no sign of the plane, and the search had been called off. All that day, doing chores around the ranch, I could think of nothing but that poor couple and my dreams. I felt God showed me where those people were and that they were alive. But who would believe me, and what could I do about it? I knew I wasn't really qualified to search for them myself. I knew, too, that even trying to explain my dream to my flight instructor, a stern taskmaster named Joe Moore, would have me laughed out of the hangar. I decided to go to our small rural airport anyway. When I arrived, a teenage boy who was watching the place told me that Joe had gone to town for the mail. The presence that had been nudging me all morning seemed to say, "Go." I had the boy help me push the plane out, and when he asked me where I was going, I said, "To look for the missing couple." I gave the plane the throttle and was on my way. Trimming out, I began a steady climb and headed for the Uinta Canyon. I knew what I was doing was unwise, even dangerous, but the danger seemed a small thing compared to what I felt in my heart. As I turned east near Painter's Basin, I was beginning to lose faith in my dream. There was no sign of the missing plane. The high winds, the downshafts, and rough air were giving me trouble in the small 65-horsepower plane. Terribly disappointed as well as frightened, I was about to turn back, when suddenly, there it was! A red plane on Gilbert Peak, just as I had seen in my dreams. Coming closer, I could see two people waving. I was so happy I began to cry. "Thank you, God. Thank you, God," I said over and over. Opening the plane's window, I waved to the couple and wig-wagged my wings to let them know I saw them. Then I said a prayer to God to help me get back to the airport safely. 30 minutes later, I was on the ground. When I taxied up and cut the motor, I gulped, for Joe Moore was there to greet me. "You're grounded," he hollered. "You had no permission to take that plane up." "Joe," I said quickly, "I know what I did was wrong, but listen, I found the couple, and they need help. You're crazy, Joe said, and he continued to yell at me. My finding that plane in an hour and a half when hundreds of planes had searched in vain for nearly a week was more than Joe could believe. Finally, I turned away from Joe, went straight for a telephone, and did what I should have done in the first place. I called the CAP, the Civil Air Patrol in Salt Lake City, and when they answered, I asked if there had been any word on the couple that was lost. They said there was no chance of them being alive now and that the search was ended. I said, well, I found them, and they're both alive. Behind me, Joe stopped chewing me out, and his eyes widened and his mouth opened. I'll round up food and supplies, I continued to the CAP, and the people here will get to them as soon as possible. The CAP gave me the go-ahead. Everyone at the airport went into action. Within 1 hour, we were on our way. A local expert pilot, Hal Crumbo, would fly in the supplies. I would lead the way in another plane. I wasn't grounded for long. Back in the air, we headed for the high peaks. Hal's plane was bigger and faster than mine. He was flying out ahead and above me. And when I got to Painter's Basin at 11,000 feet, I met the severe downdrafts again. I could see Hal circling above me and knew he was inside of the downed plane and ready to drop supplies. Since I couldn't go any higher, I turned back. Back at the airport, I joined a 3-man ground rescue party, which would attempt to reach the couple by horseback. Another rescue party had already left from the Wyoming side of the mountains. For the next 24 hours, our party hiked through fierce winds and 6-foot snowdrifts. At 12,000 feet on a ridge near Gilbert Peak, we stopped. In the distance, someone was yelling. Urging our frozen feet forward, we pressed on, tremendously excited. Suddenly, about 100 yards in front of us, we saw the fuselage of a small red plane rammed into a snowbank. Nearby, 2 people flapped their arms wildly. Charging ahead, we shouted with joy, and at about the same time we reached them, the other rescue party was coming over the opposite ridge. After much hugging and thanking, I learned what a miracle it was that this couple survived. They had had nothing to eat but a candy bar, and their clothing was bare. Mrs. Dykes had a fur coat, but her husband had only a top coat. The altitude made starting a fire impossible, and at night they huddled together in their downed plane, too afraid to fall asleep. We had all but given up and had even written notes as to who should look after our children, Mrs. Dykes said. Then turning to me, she said, but when we saw your plane, it was the most wonderful thing. Our prayers answered, a dream come true. Yes, I said, smiling, a dream come true. Suddenly feeling as Solomon in the Bible must have felt after he received a visit from the Lord one night in a dream. And this is what the Lord said to Solomon. In the book of Kings, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. And Solomon answered, you have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties for the nation. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? And the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth or for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice. I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have anyone been like you, nor ever after. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal kings among you. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands, as David your father did, I will give you a long life. So it shows here that the Lord visited Solomon in the night season. And the story continues. My dream, like Solomon's, had occurred for a reason. In God's own special way, God gave me that dream in order to help give life to 2 others. Even in the most mysterious of ways, he had shown me he is always there, always listening. He had heard my prayers, and those of the couple's prayers as well, and had answered all of us in his own amazing way through the power of dreams. Thank you, Lord. Don't we have so much to thank the Lord for? It's always beautiful to see how the Lord shows up for his people in the most dire circumstances, and he loves to intervene in divine and supernatural ways. I love looking for that. I love appreciating the Lord for his supernatural ways that he shows up. So dreams are amazing things. God bless you. Thank you for listening. And always look for those divine interventions in times of your greatest trials or your impossible situations and circumstances. God always has a higher, more powerful way to answer your problems. So thank you, Lord, for being the King of our lives, for coming through for your people. Thank you, Lord, for how you love to show up in ways that give us such great joy. And it shows us the beautiful, powerful miracle of life and your love for each one of us. In Jesus' name. Thank you for listening to Mighty Faith Podcast. You can find me on SharonRogels.net.